Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to MTS Center, where the Ottawa Senators have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 4-1 margin. I'm your host of the Illegal Curve postgame podcast, Drew Mandel, joined up in the MTS Center press box by my colleague Richard Pollock and Michael Remus. Richard, the Jets got off to a good start today. They did have a one-goal lead early on, but from there on, it was straight downhill for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, Drew, you know, they fed off the crowd at the beginning of the game and it looked like they were going to have a solid performance, unlike last year's home opener, and then return to Winnipeg. But as you said,
let me just interrupt you there for a second. I believe that was also a 4-1 loss last year to Montreal.
So 4-1 or 5-1?
I don't recall, but it was certainly certainly got that one goal only.
And yeah, they did an Andropov, remember, last year. And you know what? This game was different because they waited till last year in the third period to score. They got off to a lead with a Byfuglien goal, which we'll talk about in a second, and then after that, downhill. And we spoke about it on the Legal Curve radio show this morning that it's an important game. I know, like, every game is important, et cetera, but they're going on the road. They're playing back-to-back.
Yeah.
And they need to get this. They needed this game, and it's a tough loss at home in the home opener.
You know, this is the game that you pointed to. Of the first four, this was the game you pointed to as the one that they should be able to win. Now, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but now an 0-4 start is certainly a realistic possibility for the Winnipeg Jets.
Sure, and you know, Drew, they're going to go in Washington and Boston, first, and you know that's not going to be an easy game. The Bruins playing an afternoon game. I don't believe. I know I was talking to somebody who said that, you know, a lot of the Jets don't like playing afternoon games, and whether they do or not, they better because they have a lot of them this year.
Yeah.
But, you know, in Boston, an early game is never easy. And then you got to go over to Washington for a road game and, you know, a new crowd there, a new coach there and all that. So teams that last year, you know, a lot of teams finished ahead of the standings, ahead of the Jets in the standings last year, and all four of their first opponents will have done that. But Ottawa was probably ripe for the taking of the four, and most importantly, the Jets were playing at home.
Exactly. Let's start going through the game, the scoring summary of the game. Jets opened the scoring at the six-minute mark of the first period on the power play. Dustin Byfuglien with the goal, assisted Toby Enstrom and Andrew Ladd. Cross-ice pass or up at the left point from Byfuglien or from Enstrom over to Byfuglien on the left point, just a one-timer, and he just cleanly beat Craig Anderson with the heavy shot and that Dustin Byfuglien's known for.
Yeah, you know, Ladd in a little flip pass over to Enstrom at the top of the blue line, gets a pass over to where Byfuglien can one time and just fire it, and Byfuglien's got a heavy shot. And it was 1-0, and the power play was stagnant after that.
Stagnant is right. The Jets, I believe, had five power play opportunities, maybe even six. They had one there at the end of the game that when the game was well out of hand. I believe they had six power play opportunities to the Ottawa Senators, one power play opportunity. And the Jets, after that first goal, just couldn't do anything whatsoever on the power play.
I think the Sens might have had two, Drew, but in any event, the Jets' issues were not so much when they got into the offensive zone, although that was embarrassing in itself. It was the neutral zone play. And there were, I think, two in the end of the second, I believe it was, and beginning of the third, where the Jets couldn't get the puck through the neutral zone. And Ottawa just kept, you know, there's two in a row, I believe it was. In any event, you can't, when you're on the power play, you need to get the puck, you need to be simple. And the Jets looked out of place, their timing was off, understandably so, after a lockout with no exhibition games. But if that's the circumstances that you are playing under, then you better keep it simple, get the puck in deep and go forecheck and outnumber them when they're on the PK. And the Jets didn't do that. And so their issues weren't so much when they got into their own end, into the opposite position's end, as they scored early in the game. The issues were getting in that end, especially later on in the game.
Absolutely right, and you were correct. The Jets did have six power play opportunities to the Senators' two power play opportunities. And really, I mean, that was you can pinpoint one thing in this game where the Jets should have been able to take advantage. That was it, and they weren't able to do anything on the power play after that first goal.
You got six power plays.
Yeah,
you got outshot by nine at home.
That's right. That doesn't bode well. I mean,
you were trailing for a significant portion of the game, and generally the trailing teams will get more shots because the opposing team is protecting a lead.
The Jets did appear they looked like they were playing in quicksand for a lot of the game after the good start to the game after the first 10-minute mark of the first period. It really just was a sluggish game from there on. Ottawa was able to tie it up at the 16:02 mark of the first period. Milan Mihalik, bad giveaway at the defensive blue line by Paul Postma, And Mihalik took advantage of it and just beats Andre Pavlik. As soon as you saw the giveaway, you sort of thought, oh boy, this is going to be a problem, and it turned into be one.
Yeah, Postma, you're not getting the puck out and off the boards, off the glass, whatever it may be, just getting the puck out, period. It was kept in by, in fact, you can pronounce his name.
He's the rookie defenseman on Ottawa, Wiersiok.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce it, and we'll talk about him a little bit later. He keeps the puck on the boards, puts the puck in deep, and Mihalik gets it, puts it through the five hole of Pavlik, who probably wasn't expecting it. You know, you generally don't like goals to go through you, but Postma was the offender there. He not only turned it over, he didn't get back in time to defend, and you know, I guess we can talk a little bit about that third Ottawa pairing, and that the third Jets pairing gives us something like that. And the third Ottawa pairing, well, they give up a great opportunity to Mark Scheifele on the Slater-Scheifele line later in the game. Aside from that, they were pretty good at limiting chances, and that's an AHL duo.
That's right.
The Jets pairing, you could argue AHL talent level, Postma and Klitson, but they give up a goal, whereas the Jets didn't take advantage of the Ottawa pairing.
Senators took the lead in the second period at the 17-12 mark. Chris Neal, after the Jets had just killed off a power play, Chris Neal in a goal-mouth scramble, he sort of beats, he has position on Mark Stewart, beats him. I mean, two strong guys battling in front of the net, but Neal's just stronger than Stewart, out-muscles him in front of the net, puts it in with assist to Erik Karlsson and Greening.
I think there's two things on that goal. First is that Erik Karlsson is an amazing job of getting the puck through to the net. Just great. And that's an underrated skill that many NHLers have. He's one of the best at it. He couldn't do it last year against the Rangers in the playoffs, you remember, and that was one of the reasons he only had a point in seven games. But he does a great job of it overall. And he got that puck through, it got to the goalie, it bounced out, and Mark Stewart got on the wrong side of Chris Neal. And Mark Stewart's strong, but Mark Stewart isn't as strong as Chris Neal. He got on the wrong side of him positioning-wise, and Chris Neal puts in the rebound. The Jets are down 2-1, never recovered.
That's right. It was 2-1 after 40 minutes. So again, Jets very sluggish in the second period. Not much to speak of in terms of scoring chances, really whatsoever. And then the third period, another sluggish period for the Jets.
Uh-huh.
Ottawa finally gets a power play opportunity after the Jets had many more opportunities than the Senators did, and it doesn't take them long to capitalize. Erik Karlsson is just a dynamite player on a one-timer from the left point on a setup from Sergei Gonchar. Just great shot right under the crossbar, really right under the top of the top of the mesh, and he cleanly beats Andre Pavlik.
Kind of the reverse of
Bufflin's goal.
Enstrom puts the puck to Bufflin on a nice pass, and Bufflin takes a shot. Karlsson's shot was nicer than Bufflin's. Not that Bufflin's wasn't nice, but Karlsson's was top cheese.
That's right. Bufflin's shot was a good shot, but it was a solid shot through traffic. Yep. You know, that beats a goalie. In that manner.
But Karlsson's shot was just top shelf, and it was a great goal. Gonchar with a beautiful touch pass to get the puck right to where Karlsson in his wheelhouse, and he just fired it off. So it was the Senators were able to execute on the power play with less opportunities than the Jets were able to do so with more opportunities.
That's right, and really at that point in time, that goal came at the 12:15 mark.
That was it.
The Jets hadn't mustered anything for a while up to that point, and there was nobody really, I think, in the MTS Center who held out hope that the Jets were going to come back from a two-goal deficit with 7 minutes to go in the game.
You know, it was in the crowd response to the play. The play was frankly garbage. So why would they be inspired to think the Jets were going to come back?
That's correct. The scoring finished off at the 17:50 mark. Kyle Turris with his first of the year from Mark Mathot. Turris came down the right-hand side and wrist shot that was, Bufflin was the defender, deflected off of Bufflin, past Pavlik. Just the sort of goal you see happen every now and then, just sort of a bad deflection.
Yeah, the play kind of started with Wheeler getting a chance at the opposite end, Mathot trying to catch him, diving, missing Wheeler taking a wrist shot, and the save being made by Anderson, Mathot ending up picking it up and getting the puck up to Turris. Going the opposite, down the right wing. He came up on Bufflin. Bufflin kind of got in the way. The puck hit Bufflin's leg, changed direction. Pavlik couldn't stop it, and that's understandable. That was just one of those goals where, those exactly as you said, Drew, they happen, bounces, and it's a random goal, and it is what it is. But the Jets didn't deserve to win this game at all, and You know, if you want to talk about which players impressed.
Well, that's what I was going to next ask you. You know, obviously there were no great performances on the ice from the Jets tonight, but who of any of the Jets players stood out to you as maybe having the best of a mediocre bunch of games?
Yeah, I don't know, Drew. I mean, Byfuglien created offensively, and I loved the way he jumped into the play, but I mean, he was some brutal decisions to jump into the play that ended up not costing the Jets, which could have cost the Jets.
Right.
So I thought his ability to create offense today made him one of the better players, but he got lucky, you know, and he does tend to do that.
Dustin Byfuglien played a Dustin Byfuglien game.
Yeah.
Dynamic in the offensive zone. We talked about his vision and his stick handling and everything else, and he really was one of the only Jets who actually showed a little bit of energy and spirit in the game.
Yep.
But you know, when he takes those chances, there leads to chances on the opposite end, and you know they didn't capitalize on it. But you know, Dustin Byfuglien played a Dustin Byfuglien game.
I was impressed by Scheifele in limited time. I thought he played well. He made some nice moves. He got the puck on net. I thought there was nothing not to like about Mark Scheifele's game in the circumstances. I didn't think Pavlik played that poorly.
No,
he 7 shots. You know, the last one bounced in. I didn't think Pavlik played too poorly. You know, thinking of any other players that had so-so game, well, a lot of so-so or below average to poor. Alex Premishov had a couple plays where he was at least moving and creating something, and Vander Kane
hit a post early in the game, early in the first period,
and he had some nice back checks. Actually, they played well defensively at points, but not, you know, you're picking and choosing really. There's nothing much there. He should have hit the post too, I believe. But
the Ladd little Wheeler line really wasn't anything to write home about.
Was the worst line on the ice today. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah.
They didn't even exist. And we said before the game, and we're in the season preview, without Zach Bogosian in the lineup, this team needs to score goals because they're going to give them up. They couldn't score today. You know, they're down 2-1, down 3. You're not going to win the NHL. Forget the score for a second in terms of Ottawa's 4. You're not going to win the NHL if you score 1.
That's right. And it's not like Ottawa's a dynamic defensive team or anything. Nope. And they usually do play a more open style where they're okay winning by a 4-3.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. They're willing. Exactly right, Drew. They're willing to, change it up. A guy like Jokinen really was obviously trying to find his place, and that's tough for him. A new team, and there's no chemistry at all between Jokinen, Kane, and Wellwood. You got Thorburn playing on the wrong side of the ice, so that's going to be difficult for him. Most guys were invisible tonight, and you chalk it up to rust and lack of chemistry, and you hope they do better. But it's got to happen quick.
If it takes them time to do better, already be too late.
Yep.
That's the problem with these 48 game seasons. Mm-hmm. You don't have any window to take off onto a slow start or anything. You know, before you know it, before you get your legs under you, you might be behind the eight ball and trying to play catch up in an impossible situation.
That's right.
Toby Enstrom led the Jets in ice time with 25 minutes and 13 seconds. Dustin Byfuglien next at 24:44. No surprise, given the defensive shortcomings for the Jets, and your number one and number two defensemen are going to lead your team in ice time for the most part.
They are, and they have to with the lineup as it is. And Enstrom, Enstrom moves the puck well, and he sets up Byfuglien. He's got to be a safeguard for him sometimes, and you can certainly do worse than Tobias Enstrom. It wasn't his best game of his career by any means, but he's got a lot of big minutes, and so does Buff, and they got to rely on those guys because after those guys, their defense is fairly thin.
Evander Kane led the Jets in ice time for forwards at 18 minutes and 51 seconds. Obviously you saw Coach Claude Noel putting him out there trying to find some sort of spark somewhere along the ice, and I thought Kane was pretty okay.
Yeah, he's okay, Drew. It's hard, again, but it's the idea that him and Jokinen are both shooters. And playing with shooters is a hard mix, and we talked about that at the beginning. And so you wonder if down the road, at some point in time, maybe the team goes to a little Kane and Wheeler line, and then goes Ladd, Jokinen, and Wellwood, or if it depends on what happens with Scheifele, I think he goes back.
Right.
But something like that. And maybe you put Antropov or somebody like that up there, and you mix it around a bit, but... And that's one game. You don't overreact. But the little Adam Wheeler, I think, has been overrated in terms of chemistry because they've had huge spurts of success and huge spurts of unproductive play.
You remember last year, they started the year playing together.
Yeah.
And they were really, they had no chemistry going for the first number of games last year. Then they got split up, and then later in the year they were put together, and that's where they were able to find their stride at that point in time. But it did take them a fair bit of time to get going there last season. Mark Scheifele played 11 minutes and 50 seconds. like you said, he was a reasonably effective 1150. He was. You noticed him on the ice.
For sure.
And there were a lot of Jets players you didn't notice.
He played well. I mean, he's soft on his skate still. He gets muscled around, and that's going to be a problem. That's why I think he's going to go back. And the contract status is obviously another reason why he's going to go back, I think. But, you know, create some chances and a nice crossover move at the blue line going left to right. And, you know, created some when he had the chance. And, hey, remember also who he's playing with. I mean, he got some shifts with different guys, but playing on the line with Slater and Thorburn. And he had his great chance in front, too. So he had a couple, you know, probably three, four, some good scoring chances.
Yeah, exactly. Certainly, he certainly wasn't the problem, and he didn't look terribly out of place, giving some of the Jets, you know, some food for thought as they get through the next five games, likely, with Mark Scheifele before they have to make a decision. The Jets are next in action Monday afternoon, 12 p.m. start time in Boston. Like you mentioned, they have the back-to-back in Boston and then Washington. Next home action is next Friday night here at MTS Center, where the Jets will face off against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and probably for the first time in Winnipeg, assuming nothing happens in the course of the next 6 days, Sidney Crosby will make his debut in Winnipeg.
Should be a good one. I'm going to miss it. I'm looking forward to seeing Crosby in person, hopefully, on February 15th. But that's going to be an exciting game for fans. So let's hope the Jets come back and aren't 0-3 if you're a Jets fan. and see what they can do against arguably the best team in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. For Richard Pollock, I am your host of the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, Drew Mandel, for Michael Remus as well. We remind you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And, well, this is where you found it, so you know that the website for all your latest NHL and Winnipeg Jets news is www.illegalcurve.com. Thanks for listening.